hearties, welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast, Heart to Heart edition. We are here to bring you the very moving, very beautiful, very heated episode of season 7, episode 6 of When Calls the Heart in Perfect Unity. I am Cammy Clements, the hooked hearty, and we have Caroline here, the hopeful hearty.
Hey.
And her camera's not working, so you can't see the fact that she has her awesome Hickam for Mayor shirt on.
I'll post a picture when we share the episode.
Perfect. And then we have the happy hearty, Casey.
Hello, everyone. I am here, and I am well, unlike last week, in which I became very ill, so I'm happy to be back.
Yes, we are so happy to have you back. We're happy to have you both back.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Last time it was just Rachel and me. So I am so happy to have you both of you back. I love talking with Rachel, but I did miss the team. Yes.
Yes. Team parties.
So speaking of the wardrobe choice for the evening, I have to, anybody watching YouTube, I have to show you. So I've got my little signature heart necklace, of course. And then this is something that my friend Sarah gave me when I was pregnant with Jack. Red Surge on the horizon. And then it's got a picture of a Mountie on a silhouette of a Mountie on the horizon, because I knew I was having a boy and I knew I was going to name him Jonathan and nickname him Jack. And the best part is that it fits me like a tunic now instead of a shirt. So it's awesome.
Cute.
So shout out to Sarah. Love you, girl. I still wear it. All right. Oh, this was an episode. I say that every week, and I kind of feel silly that I keep saying it every week, but things just keep going up and up and up and up and up in intensity and in the way that they present things and all that. And I just keep saying, whoa, you know, they just keep upping everything.
I am really hoping that this means that we will get an answer to this love triangle, because it's starting to drive me a little crazy, not gonna lie.
Down girl.
That's not because I hate people. It's because I love people. It's because I like Lucas. I want him to have a nice lady. I like Nathan. I want him to have a nice lady. I love Elizabeth. I want her to have a nice man that won't die. That will span the seasons, and then we get to see her married to a wonderful man and raise, you know, baby Jack and other children that we but I'm very much hoping that, because they've now, we went from like zero, maybe like 10 to about 80 miles an hour in 2 weeks, and I'm like, oh my word,
punch the gas pedal. Like,
if this is what we're doing, I can't handle 5 seasons of this. I need it to like wrap it up.
It, like, both of them made their intentions known because of the flower incident last week. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because like now Elizabeth knows, okay, both of these guys like me. And like, now I have to make a decision, and I like, now everything's out in the open. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't, like, I liked the triangle at the beginning, but like, I like seeing Elizabeth squirm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Can I just say on that too, like, the triangle, it's not like she's playing both guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay? She isn't.
She's not, like, and maybe it's because I feel like I have a deep connection to Elizabeth, because I understand her thought process. You know, like, I'm obviously not Elizabeth, I'm not the writers, but we see Elizabeth through the writers and through her actions and through her diary and what she says and how she reacts and how she does all the facial expressions. Uh-huh. And it's like, at first it was one of those things where it was like, okay, 2 single guys, they're both really nice to me, I'm attracted to both of them in a non, like, you know, inappropriate way. It's just mm-hmm. that they're nice. They're nice guys. This one has a niece that, you know, I feel compelled to help because I am a helper and by nature, which means I feel like I have to help his uncle. She's just very much a helper in that sense. And with Lucas, she was very much a, like, they have the, I don't know, the same intellectual zing, kindred spirit-y, yeah. like, connection, you know? And, like, that's something to bond over.
Education. They're both very educated. And,
right.
Yeah,
and that's
love
something
for
that
books.
You bond over when you're getting to know somebody. Like, when you meet two people of the opposite gender and, you know, you happen to be about the same age, you happen to have similar interests. With Nathan, it's obviously the school and Allie. With Lucas, it's obviously the library and the books and the intellect or whatever. Like, you're going to build a friendship and you're going to build, like, a relationship, and you might be attracted to them, and that's okay. It's not like she's making out with both of them at the same time. Like,
no, and there was even that line. There was even that line with Rosemary. She was so insistent. There is no romance. They're both wonderful men whom I have no intention of hurting. And I just went, oh gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I just went, I feel you, girl. Okay. I'm not saying this with any arrogance, but I know how she feels because I've been caught between two guys before, and it is not as much fun as it may seem. It was heart-wrenching, and it was just, I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it at all. And it was very, very hard for me to keep the peace and to keep mm-hmm. the juggling act and to try to let one person down without hurting their feelings. And what, yeah. So yeah. I was like, you go, girl.
Yeah, and like, take that experience that you had, Cammy, but then add another layer to it. Like, you've just lost the love of your life.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? No, like, I was in high school or college, so yeah, nuh-uh.
Right. Like, so you take that experience, and like, as hard as that is, imagine like having been a widow with a child. That's a whole new ballgame.
Oh, yeah. That ups it about 10 notches.
Yeah. That's a hard web to like untangle, you know?
Uh-huh. And she's just so sweet anyway. Like, her, like, she just wants everyone to, like, be happy. And, like, it can't happen to the sweetest person to have two men, like, basically, like, fighting over her. I mean, like, bless her heart. Like, bless her heart for real. Like, I feel bad for her sometimes because she's just so sweet. Like,
yeah.
She's almost too sweet to a fault. Yes.
Yes. I'm like, bless her. Like, she can't break someone's heart. Like, she can't do it. Like,
yeah,
I feel bad for her when I watch, because they're both good looking men, let's be honest, and like, I just, bless their heart, like, I feel sorry for her.
And Caroline, what was it that you said earlier today that I said
the beginning I was very much like 100% Lucas, and now because of Kevin McGarry, I might be like 60-40 Lucas Nathan.
Whoa, baby!
All because of Kevin McGarry.
Dad, he's good. He's good.
Mr. Buwaz.
It was all my interview with him, wasn't it?
I mean, Charm City.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Charm City. And he laid it on thick.
Good thing you can't see my face, so I'm glad we talked about it this week.
Okay, so really quick, because you guys weren't here last week, I gotta know, even though, Caroline, you're still more Lucas than Nathan, did it drive you guys absolutely crazy that we didn't get to see her reaction to Nathan's flowers? Because that drove me batty.
I was so hoping, like, the last second would be her opening the door and, like, her shocked face.
Yeah.
But we didn't get it. I was like, shoot. Obviously, I wasn't knocking.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree. I was
is that all you have to say?
Well, I was, Caroline took the words right out of my mouth.
So. Oh, okay.
I was a little like, are you kidding me?
I hope Edify Films has the deleted scene of Elizabethine
yes.
Nathan and add it to the DVD, please.
Okay, so everybody who's listened knows that I am definitely Team Nathan.
You don't say.
I mean, you know. Kevin McGarry, come
right?
on,
y'all. Dang, go back, Kevin.
But I am kind of hoping in my, like, alternative universe / fanfic that Elizabeth opened the door and she and Nathan had a nice long conversation, much longer than 10 seconds, so.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hate to tell you that, but based on the conversation they had in this episode, I don't think that was the case. So let's go there, shall we? Since we're already
yes.
there.
Yes.
Let's go there. So
let's start with Elizabeth dumping the flowers.
I wasn't talking about that scene yet, you know, but no, I was talking about the one between Nathan and Elizabeth, because this is what I went, somebody took their confidence pills this morning.
I mean, come on. I mean, he was just laying it out there.
He brought it. I said, where's dumbfounded? Where's tongue-tied? Nope, he's gone, apparently, you know?
I was live tweeting for the podcast last night.
Yeah. What'd you say?
And I said, like, dang, Nathan, like, where was this guy, like, two episodes ago?
Right. I wrote down the entire conversation. Because I was just so in shock that I just said I have to get this all down, and so Nathan catches up to Elizabeth, and you can see her kind of panic. So I was hoping to get a chance to speak to you. It's been a while, and she said, "I saw you yesterday." And that doesn't count. Dozen kids running around. My niece was there. I was hoping for something a little more private. When he said the word private, I just went, oh boy, here it comes. Yeah, I started scooting up a little bit. Here it comes. So, and then he said about the flowers, more precisely the ones I gave you.
Oh.
and then her, they were lovely, but not the only ones you received. And then that look on her face, no. You know, just like, I was laughing so hard. And once again, it was 6 o'clock in the morning the first time I saw it. So I'm holding my nose, snickering so that I don't wake anybody.
It was Aaron and Kevin played that so funny, like
well, and it wasn't too intense, you know. You didn't feel blue lasers going into the back of her head or anything like that.
Was that when he said something about competition?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So no, that you definitely saw the blue diamonds sparkling, mm-hmm. but there weren't the lasers to the back of the head, is what I mean, because they kept it light, and just when it was about to get really, really intense, of course, he gets a phone call. But yeah, he said, I'm not one to shy away from competition. And when he said that, I just went, okay, all bets are off. Because this guy is moving in, and he is moving in for the kill. So,
well, he does have some room to make up for.
Yeah, he does. It was funny because one of the times I was watching it, I was watching it with my daughter, and she said, "Elizabeth was saved by the bell." Yes, she was, honey. Yes, she was.
Who does she like? Who does your daughter like more?
She likes Nathan.
Nathan.
Yeah, she likes Nathan.
Red Surge gets you.
Yep. And, well, you know, Red Surge on the horizon.
There you go.
But she's not a fan of beards either. And she thinks that Nathan is very handsome. And she likes the hero aspect. And so, yeah, she prefers Nathan. At first, she didn't. She said, Nathan does not deserve Elizabeth. But I think she was still having some Jack feelings. Yeah. You know, she was still trying. She was still trying to get over Jack. You know, so
I think we all were.
Yeah, we were all trying to get over Jack. So, but yeah, it was about to get very, very intense. And of course, they leave you wanting more. And they did a very good job right there because I was like, no, keep going. Dang it, you know. So let's move to the other conversation, the other big conversation between Nathan and Elizabeth about Robert.
Mm.
Holy moly.
That boy grew?
That boy grew up really, really fast.
So how old is Robert? Like, is he 16, 17?
I think he's 15.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
I can't handle them growing up. Like,
I think Robert is 15. I think Javen is actually 15, if memory serves me correctly. So he's just getting a jump start. Yeah. So I'm going to go to school for one more year and then I would quit and I wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I wouldn't attend my final year. Okay. Can I just say, Robert has been so much of a background character for so long. You know, when Cody was around, he was his best friend, but he was still very background. There weren't any stories about him.
Yeah.
We don't really see him as the central focus of a story. And so, you know, besides the bear, I think that was the closest thing that we came to a story surrounding him. And that was years ago.
The bear and the baby.
The baby in the Christmas story. Yeah,
his sister.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Robert bullied me. That was always usually the storyline.
Of course. Yes.
Or me but and Robert's going to go fishing.
even with the baby, I didn't feel like Robert was the focus. I think it was because Jack was home, you know?
Yeah, he was building the crib.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was really amazing to see his character in such a different light than we have seen him before, because he's always been silly Robert that you couldn't take recess away from him because he needed to use his energy. Remember that with Mr. Stoneman? But also it was really interesting to see how much the actor himself, Javen, has evolved. Because, you know, as a young kid actor, he uses those tricks that kid actors use, and he overdoes it a little bit, and he has the really big overdone expressions and things like that. And that was okay when he was younger. But this performance in this episode was the best I have ever seen him. He was straight laced. He was natural and normal, and he was so serious about becoming a Mountie, talking about it with Elizabeth, knowing why it would upset her, and talking very maturely about becoming a Mountie, and also being pretty sympathetic to why Elizabeth would think that it was too dangerous for him to enter that profession. I thought it was fantastic.
I loved how, like, like she was worried about him, but then like she said with Nathan, she didn't want to make the decision for him.
Right.
She wanted Robert to make the decision for himself. And I also love the fact like whenever the bear scene happened in season 4, like he said he wanted to be a Mountie, and yeah. So I love the continuation of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
The first thing I thought of, like, Jack would be so proud.
I thought it was a smart move. I thought it was a smart move for Elizabeth to direct him to an actual Mountie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, was there more?
I was just going to say, instead of, like, her giving her perspective, different perspective, not only because she lost her husband who is a Mountie, but she also doesn't, she has an understanding, of course, but she doesn't have a firsthand experience being a Mountie. You know?
The training and everything that goes involved with that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that conversation with Nathan, I almost said Naven.
There you go. team name.
Wow. Anyway, I found it so poignant. I found it very, very poignant. And I almost got teary-eyed at this point. Mm-hmm. I was smiling very, very big. Because, you know, Nathan gets just the tiniest bit cynical and says, "You want me to talk him out of it?" And she says, "No. I want him to have all the facts." And, you know, Nathan's a little confused. "You'd be all right if he became a Mountie? Not my first choice, but it's a noble profession." And then you see the smile.
Uh-huh.
Really? You know?
But did you notice his facial expression when she walked into his office at first? Like, he was like smiling and stuff, and she said, "I need to talk to you," and he smiled, and she said, "About Robert," and he went serious. Did you notice?
Oh yeah, that? Yeah. What can I do for you? Yeah.
I was like, oh,
poor guy.
Yeah, he was hoping.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Like, I was like, he was hoping for something personal, like a personal.
Right. Yeah.
So, I also like the storyline and the fact that they showed Robert still as innocent. Like, he may have grown up and matured a whole lot, but the fact he's still a kid, but he's still innocent to, like, the evils of the world and stuff. Right. I'm sure he knows that people are bad or whatnot, but, you know, you can tell just by his conversation with the prisoner, like, "Oh, but he has a family. Are you sure you think he's guilty?"
Right.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into more of that later. But anyway, back to the smile, guys. Come on, focus here.
ADD, y'all.
See his mouth just kind of perking up and the corners start to turn up. And he just has that little tiny hint of a smile. And then, you know, she starts talking about Jack. "When I first met Jack, I didn't understand. But now I know that it's about making the world a better place." And then he just has the full-on smile. I just thought, oh, he's very, very pleased now. And mm-hmm. I really thought this was interesting. A friend of mine said to me, "You know what? It's really interesting that with Lucas, she always says, 'My late husband,' or 'my husband.' And with Nathan, she said, 'Jack.'" And I thought, huh, I never thought of that before, but it's true. And I just thought, you know, there's a possibility that Nathan knew him, or at least knew who he was. He's also another Mountie. So she feels kind of that level of comfort and that level of familiarity that she doesn't have to say "my late husband." So yeah, mm-hmm. she refers to him as Jack with Nathan, which I thought was interesting.
I did notice that, like, it was like,
oh, you did.
Jack.
Okay.
Like, I did notice, like, Jack, like, with that. But has she really talked about Jack with Lucas?
Yeah. For instance, the illustrations with the book.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My late husband. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So not, and see, that's the other thing, is not as much. She's mm-hmm. talked to Nathan mm-hmm. about Jack more than she has Lucas. So yeah, it was interesting to see where that would go. All right. So now that we've talked about Nathan and Elizabeth, let's go into that scene with Nathan and Robert. Let's go into that scene with Nathan and Robert where he catches the fugitive. We're getting there, Caroline. Okay. We're getting there. I know what you're squealing about, but we're getting there.
Okay. I'll wait.
You'll wait. All right. So we see that Robert is starting to shadow Nathan to see what it's like to be a Mountie. And I thought that Nathan was a little annoyed with him at first, but I don't know. It seemed more like he was saying, no, this is the way it is, and you cannot divert from that. So I don't know. He at first it kind of seemed like he thought of Robert as a bit of a nuisance, but then I don't know, he almost seemed to grow on him.
Yeah, like to me it seemed like it was bad timing for Robert to be there. Like it almost reminded me of like, hey Mountie Grant, Miss Thornton said to come visit you, and he's like in the middle of paperwork, he's like yeah come on, you know, and he just like strikes up a conversation, and you know, that's how it reminded me of, like,
okay,
not necessarily that he was dismissive, but that he was just busy. It just reminded me of myself as a parent when my kid is like, mommy, can we play go fish, and I'm like, hey. hang on a second kid.
I think he was like more annoyed that he like not annoyed but concerned maybe that he thought that what's his face was a good guy, you know, like he was talking to him, you
Mr.
know,
Henderson, I believe.
Yeah, like he was like being nice and stuff like that, like he needs to be strict and not talk to the prisoners, like be so civil, you know what I mean?
Right, and you know, just make sure that you maintain the professional distance, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, don't get emotionally involved.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it was like you said, Caroline, it was very, or Casey, was it you who talked about him being innocent?
Me.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was so interesting that he was about to strike up a conversation, but he's got kids, and you know, as if that automatically makes you a good guy. It mm-hmm. was it's something that you have to kind of work your way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so then when he does the prisoner transfer and okay, so if anybody had any doubt of Nathan's Mountie abilities,
mm-hmm,
we've got him holding people at gunpoint. We've got him doing some serious investigative skills. And the final nail in the coffin, pun intended, I guess. We got a serious tackle.
Oh yeah, we did.
Like we got a chase. We got a chase and a tackle. And I just said, all right. Anybody who said that he couldn't be the Mountie of this town, there you go.
My favorite
thing. The mic.
My favorite thing was when he got up from the ground and like he was looking around, like he just nonchalantly picked up his hat, put it back, and looked at the people that were clapping. Like,
Reminded you of Indiana Jones, didn't it? You just pick it up, dust it off, and put it.
Yeah, like all a day's work, no biggie.
Yeah, he was. It almost reminded me of him being like, stop it.
Yeah.
Seriously, stop.
I was almost like waiting for Elizabeth to be like watching Nathan and have that look of worry,
she had with Jack.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, I was hoping for that moment, like when Jack had the gun with the was
the counterfeiter.
Counterfeiter. Like I was almost hoping mm-hmm. for that scene again with her watching.
Yeah, she missed the entire thing, so she didn't get to see him really be the physical hero. She's mm-hmm. seen him be a hero to Allie, but she hasn't really seen him be the physical Mountie hero. I remember the blog I wrote, mild-mannered Mountie versus Captain Constable, because I said that he was more of the mild-mannered Clark Kent type in Hope Valley, and then when he makes his appearances on When Hope Calls in Brookfield, he's the boss, he's the authority, he's Captain Constable. And so he gets up and he dusts off his hat, and I went, Captain Constable.
Like, no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then he goes right back, and the conversation that he has with Robert, I thought was awesome when he says, "You okay?" And Robert, very unboy-like, shook his head. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm fine. You know, he shook his head and no, I'm not. Did you see how immediately uncomfortable?
Yeah.
How immediately uncomfortable Nathan was. You want to talk about it? Uh-oh. I have to deal with this kid's feelings. And then he said, "I don't think I'm cut out to be a Mountie." And immediately all the nervousness and discomfort drops. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Oh, you think I wasn't scared?" You know, just immediately just dives in. There's mm-hmm. no more discomfort. He goes for it.
And he said, like, "I wasn't ready to be a Mountie when, like, I was a kid, like, your age."
Yes, too. When I was your age. Yes, mm-hmm. keep going with that, Caroline. Go.
And I'm like, I thought that was so sweet. Like, he was, like, encouraging him. But, like, you see how, like, it turned out for me. Like, I'm a Mountie now. And I just love that scene. Like, he was strong for Robert. I keep calling him Javen. And I thought it was so sweet. So if you hear me say Javen, it's Robert.
Yeah. And but Robert, yeah, I thought that was a fabulous scene because Kevin played the discomfort so well. And then just the immediately, "Oh no, I got this. This is a territory I can talk about." You know, so what did you think, Casey?
Yeah, no, it's probably because he's so used to Allie and she's probably a lot emotional.
The feelings.
Girl, the feelers. So when Robert was like, "Not okay," I did giggle a little bit because I was like, "Yes, Nathan, you do have to talk to Robert." But I also appreciated the fact that he wasn't like, "Yeah, see, bro, it's like hard work." You know, he was,
yes,
you know,
yes.
He was just like, "You know, I was scared too. I'm still scared, but I love what I do." And I really appreciated that from Nathan.
That's so sweet. Yeah. When did the scene, like, was it after the whenever they saw Lucas and Elizabeth talking, was that after that or was that before that scene before?
That was right before.
Uh-huh.
That was right before. So yeah, they're walking down the street. It's like, "You okay?" Mm-hmm. "Yeah, I'm just hungry."
Yeah.
You always clench your jaw that hard when you're hungry.
Yeah, that was, I died laughing.
Oh my gosh. Perfect line.
Yeah.
Perfect line. Perfect moment.
I said,
hysterical.
I'm like, Robert called out Nathan.
Oh gosh. Oh, that was funny. Okay. Speaking of Lucas, let's go. I hear the squeals. So let's start with the first one. Lucas asking, "How was the rehearsal dinner?" All right, Caroline, give it to me.
And what did he do? He helped her put her coat on.
Yes,
he and did. And you're a hopeless romantic. No, I'm a hopeful romantic. I'm like, yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Of course, the hopeful Hardy picked out that line, but I did too. So, you know.
And they were looking at, Claire and Jesse, like, kiss and stuff, and they both were like, the facial expression, like, "Oh, I want that too." I'm like, "Yes, you do." Together.
Love certainly is special. That's yeah. what he said. I wrote yeah. it down because I said, "Ooh, you." He's a, and then, yeah, "You sound like a hopeless romantic. More like a hopeful one." It's like, red flag, red flag, red flag. What about you, Casey? I know you're team Nathan, but you gotta admit it was pretty sweet.
It was really sweet. I'm just like, I don't know, y'all. I don't feel Elizabeth and Lucas. I really don't. It's just, I don't know. I feel like he needs someone with like adventure and like fun, kind of like a tamed down version of Rosemary.
Julie?
with Julie. A little bit of Julie Thatcher
oh,
in her.
No, no. Oh, come on. Oh. Lucas with Julie? Can no, you
no, no,
really?
No, 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 no.
No, I was talking Julie. To Car- I was talking to Caroline.
If he can't have Elizabeth, he can have Julie.
Julie's already with Tom Thornton, so we got to cross her out. But I'm just
in another dimension.
In another fanfic. Alternate world.
Oh my God.
Someone write that, please.
But yeah, no, I just feel like Lucas is so serious sometimes. Like, I want to see fun Lucas.
We might see like, fun Lucas.
No, you know, we might see fun, but I feel like we're going to see lots of sap. And I our dear friend Jess, who does the Postables podcast with Cammy and I, she's admittedly not a romantic, and I feel like her at this moment.
Oh, yes, you're acting like her right at this moment.
And I am the hopeless romantic, like.
Over here too, Caroline, so yeah, fist bump. Hopeless romantics, unite.
Yeah. That's why I love Hallmark so much.
But I don't know. I feel like, and maybe it's just me. So Hardy is out there. That's Team Lucas. There's nothing against Lucas. This is just a Casey personal opinion. Sometimes when you get all the words, it's just almost overwhelmingly too much. And you're kind of like, okay, where are you going with this? And why are you talking like this so much? And again, I am not a hopeless romantic as you know, Caroline and Cammy are. I like more of the, you know, the quiet gestures and the.
Oh, hey, I like them too. Don't get me wrong.
I like those too.
But like, even more so, the you know, I don't know, the grandiose things. It's just not.
No, I know what you're saying. You know? I know what you're saying.
So I think that's why I like Lucas. I do. I want him with a wonderful woman, but I feel like Elizabeth's, like, I feel like they would make a dull couple because they could be both very serious and very, like, too intellectually the same. And when you have that, you don't have a fun dynamic, you know? I want him to have someone fun.
Like, ooh, I said, adventurous.
I was hoping for
a Fiona type.
A Fiona type with a little bit of Rosemary, but without the theatrics, just the go-getter.
Okay. And then
with the, like, the fun Julie Thatcher, like, let's go, you know?
Can you imagine another Rosemary in Hope Valley, though?
Oh, that would gosh, be, no. Like, that's too much for any town. All right, let's go to the library. Okay, so here's my big thought, and I actually even have a painting over my shoulder, so that's perfect. I could not help but notice that they're talking all, you know, they're having these romantic and chemistry popping moments with Nathan's plaque right over his shoulder.
That is funny.
The plaque that Nathan gave her that he carved with his own hands is hanging directly over Lucas's shoulder while he's making eyes with her and getting really close and say, I'll put them away for you. You know, there's your small gesture, Casey. He put the books away. But yeah, just they're having this chemistry popping moment with Nathan peeking over his shoulder.
But like, that was sweet though.
Oh, very.
Oh yeah, very. It was very sweet.
And then her backing away. If you're listening and not watching on YouTube, I'm literally backing away right now.
Like, I will
see you at the wedding.
I died laughing. Like,
I know, I did too.
And the funny thing is, like, whenever they got close together, did you notice, like, she did the lip stare, like they talked about in season 3?
It was very short, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I did see something. Yeah,
yeah.
Who does she want to kiss? Lucas.
Oh my word.
But here's the thing though, with that, every time that I compare and contrast every interaction she has, it's always like she's trying to back away from Lucas, but she's always running to Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I mean, like, for example, and I don't mean running to him because she needs help or backing away because she doesn't like him. Like, it's just that I feel like, for example, in one of the earlier episodes of this season, she's talking to Lucas, she sees Nathan, and she makes eye contact for maybe a few seconds too long, and Lucas is like, okay, see you have company, you know? It's like, if you really like that person, you would divide all your attention on that person. Or, like, if you really, you know, wanted to be with Lucas in the library, you wouldn't, like, freak out and back up. Like, why is he making you, why are you feeling so uncomfortable around him right now?
Because, like, she has feelings for him.
But she's always going to Nathan, though.
Like, that's true.
In several different instances, she approaches Nathan. She makes eye contact with Nathan first. She looks at Nathan. And it's not always because of Allie. It's like a thing. Is it because his red search is so bright that it's just like, whoa, sunglasses? Like, I can't just not look at it. I just can't not look at the sun. You know, it's just, and I think that's my problem with the triangle, is because, like, I see that so much, I'm just kind of like, all right, like, you know, can we stop the games? Not with, I'm talking more of the storyline, not with the characters necessarily.
Right.
And so I think that's just my thing. It's like, if you really liked them, like, you wouldn't feel so uncomfortable that you'd back out. If anything, you know, like,
she does seem like she is more comfortable with, like, talking with Nathan. Does she, when she's talking with Lucas, she feels more flustered around Lucas, I think. And like with Nathan, it's more like calm, I think. I do notice that.
Yeah, it's true. All right, we're going to leave the love triangle behind for now, and we're going to go to the main event of this episode, the wedding.
Yay!
Okay, so first of all, I got to say how happy I am that both Elizabeth and Clara talked about their weddings and their past husbands. It made it more real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no way that you can bring up a wedding and Clara is not thinking about Peter and Elizabeth is not thinking about Jack. It would not be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they didn't ignore that was beautiful for me. And just Elizabeth calming Clara's fears, telling her, if I had to do it all over again, I know, I cried. I have not literally cried in a When Calls the Heart episode since Jack died. I've gotten a little misty and things have gotten me, but I was crying.
I did cry.
And just her saying, I would do it, wouldn't you? And oh my gosh.
And Clara nodded her head. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes. Yes. And Clara just, and she was so scared because what if something happens to Jesse? You know, it was the sweetest thing.
I feel like we'll have that conversation with Elizabeth and Clara again, but for Elizabeth next time.
Probably.
I really honestly want that, like, because they both lost a husband. Clara found love again, got married. Elizabeth is on the same road. And, like, Abigail's not there to talk to her. Like, Rosemary doesn't understand. Clara does. So, like, I hope that bonds them even more, as season 7 goes on and season 8. Crossing my fingers.
Yeah.
Team Clara, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Aside the wedding, I thought that was the best scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the two of them episode. Talking?
Oh,
of the
yeah.
season. Mm-hmm. Of the season.
Yeah, and that storyline, too. I honestly forgot that she was married to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this season because, like, you know, she is getting married and because Abigail's not there. Because every time I see Abigail and Clara, I'm always reminded, oh, yeah, daughter-in-law, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, with Abigail's absence, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. But when she found the picture and the paper
and the vows
and everything, and I was like, and you were so young and you lost your husband like
three days
later.
Three days. Can you imagine getting married and then losing your husband 3 days later?
And like no one knew about it too. Like,
yes, yeah. I forgot about that.
So she couldn't like mourn with anybody. Like, so she had to mourn by herself, like 17 years old at the, like at the earliest, like, you, like bless her heart.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for Clara. Go,
and I also appreciate the fact that it's like, she's also a young widow, and it's not so, like coming from like Florence or Molly or Abigail, because it's different. They had time with their spouses before they passed away. Whereas Elizabeth and Clara both have that very short marriage, very young,
you know,
similar situation.
I wrote down the vows. It's funny because my daughter Lydia, she's in kindergarten, and one of her assignments that she had to do today was a rhyming quiz. She had to find words that rhymed. And so I said, okay, Lydia, she had just finished her assignment when I was watching this scene. And I said, okay, Lydia, listen for the rhyming words. And so that was really fun with her. But these vows, they were kind of cutesy and fun and childlike, but at the same time, so poignant. I wrote them down because I thought that they were just beautiful. I promise you all my love today and ever after. You are my heart, my soul, my reason for laughter. Forever for us begins with I do, and I do so much, so very much love you.
Oh.
That's why I cried.
Oh, I also cried like when she read that, but also with talking about Bill, like when Bill came to talk to her and he could tell. Oh.
So let's go to the wedding itself. So we're getting rained out, and Casey, did you see that interview that we were talking about? Because Caroline and I both saw it.
Which interview? So, oh, the one where
ET?
I didn't see it, but I did read the comment like y'all
okay,
put in chat.
So yeah, so if you don't know, Erin Krako, when they were doing the red carpet event, she was talking about how beautiful the set design was and what a great job the set directors did, the set decorators did, and how beautiful everything looked. And then we find out from Pascal, what, Caroline?
That Erin Krako designed the thing.
Helped design it, yeah, because they were going to be filming in November, and so, we can't film outside. That's crazy.
And so she wanted it to be an outdoor wedding, so she looked on Pinterest for all indoor weddings that had outdoor themes, and so she helped, and she kept it a secret from Eva. I'm like, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
like,
she wouldn't let Eva. So she wouldn't let Eva in the saloon. She wouldn't let her. She would, so it would be a total surprise. I thought that was cute.
And she's like, she gave like the set deck people like ideas and everything. Like, I know she's an executive producer, but that's totally like an Erin thing. Like, even
that's
if she wasn't,
that's huge. Huge.
Yeah,
she loves the show.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It really was for a quote-unquote last-minute wedding.
Yeah, I know.
Inside the saloon, but
yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, do that little bit of holding off reality.
Because
we all know it's fake foliage, and we know that it couldn't have been done last minute. But
I mean, well, with Hope Valley.
With Hickam.
Pull things together very quickly.
All right, Hickam, yes, Caroline, do your Hickam line.
Hickam to the rescue. Like, he ran straight towards it and helped. And so Hickam for mayor, okay?
And so did Nathan and Lucas.
Yeah, and they worked together as a team.
They did. They
so
did.
They, so they could be friends later on.
Well, and they were even kind of standing with each other, which I thought was interesting. Yeah.
Way to be grown-ups, guys.
Yeah. And I loved Fiona taking Claire's hand and saying, you know, many cultures believe rain is good luck. I think that this means smooth sailing for your marriage. And Rosemary's going,
Her facial. You know? Well, Personal story. My parents had a tornado the night before their wedding. And the power was out of the church. And they got married in July in the South.
No.
And my dad had a wool suit on.
Oh, my word.
And they've been married almost 37 years. So, hey. Oh
my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow. That's
so amazing. Their marriage lasts. So. So far, at least.
But Fiona's going, and oh, yes, yes, absolutely. So Rosemary, such a Rosemary reaction.
But her facial expressions were like so funny.
Oh, hysterical.
Pascal killed it.
All right, so wedding itself. We see Nathan in a blue suit to accentuate those blue eyes.
Yes.
And we see Emily walking with little Jack as the ring bearer.
That made me melt. Oh,
so cute. And Fiona's reaction when she walked in and calling Elizabeth a wizard. I thought that was so cute.
And Elizabeth's like, I had help. Like, I had help. Just say thanks, Elizabeth. Just say thanks.
And I loved how there was a shot of each man looking at her when she was up there. And sweetest moment, one of the sweetest moments, I thought, was when Bill and Clara are there at the beginning of the aisle. And he says, are you ready to do this? Because she had doubts because of all of the thoughts of Peter and everything like that. And she just grabs his arm and says, absolutely. Yeah. I loved that moment. It's the gestures. The gestures are so important in acting. And I'm talking like an actor, sorry. But just the gestures and just the fact that she just grabbed his arm. Absolutely. And then she just, because after looking at Jesse's eager, awestruck face, that shot of his face, and I still can't believe I'm the lucky guy that gets to marry you. This is the other part where I cried. I literally cried at their wedding. And when she said, there was a time in my life when I didn't think I could love again, there was a shot of Elizabeth and then a shot of Nathan, just saying.
And Lucas.
I don't think so. I watched it twice. I didn't
maybe
see
I thought Lucas.
I think you thought it. but despite my doubts, you never gave up on us. Thank you for loving me more than I ever thought possible. So sweet.
Each wedding gets more like each of their, like, when Calls a Heart weddings, like, gets more emotional, like, each time. Like, Rosemary and Lisa, this was cute, but it was short. Elizabeth and Jack, mm-hmm. amazing, like, emotional.
Very emotionally charged.
Yeah, but, like, this one was, like, in a, like, different emotional, like.
Oh, very.
It was just, like, because she's moving on, and we want Elizabeth to move on. And
Claire's been married before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I just love that.
You've been kind of quiet over there, Casey. What do you have to say about it?
No, I thought that I really loved this wedding. And I had the same thoughts as Caroline, because when, I was just observing the wedding and Jesse and Clara and the vows and, the decoration and the saloon and all the effort that went into it, I was like, man, I feel like Rosemary and Lee need a do-over wedding.
Well, there had just been a flood. Flood,
No, it was just I just love how just the show itself has evolved.
Yeah,
with the background, the producers and the set designers and the cinematography. It's just I don't know. It's really showcased itself this season, specifically with this wedding too. I thought the vows were wonderful. And perfect for the two of them. And I'm glad that nobody was like blubbering. It's always one thing that I always look for at weddings is if the groom starts blubbering.
I love it when the groom gets like emotional, but not like so much that you can't understand the thing.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But what I am really looking forward to is talking about the reception.
Yeah. Well,
let's do it. That's what I was going towards. Okay. First thing right off, I really appreciated, because I'm a mom, I really appreciated that Elizabeth had to leave the reception to go put
yes. down.
I was like, yes. thank you, realism. Yes. All yes. right.
100%. Because as a mom too, there have been times throughout this season specifically where I'm like, what about, where's Jack? Like, I understand that we don't have to see every little mention, but here and there would be nice, especially for a wedding, because it's like, would you do abandon your kid? You know? That's kind of the natural tendency one has to think when Elizabeth's like, quote unquote, gallivanting around the town, helping people or whatever. So right. I appreciated that myself. I'm like, good, let's address the baby Jack thing. Because also too, contrary to popular belief, we moms can have fun too.
It is possible.
We just all need right. a babysitter.
Yeah, we just need to leave the kids with somebody first. All right, Caroline, you're not a mom. Did you think anything of that moment? Or
I did think it was cute that she like, well, I hope she stays, or he stays asleep for, you know, Laura. Yeah, and I did notice, like, I do notice, like, well, where's Jack? Like, I want to see more Jack. But I did like that she had to go put him down, and she didn't miss a cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that she did, that she asked about it. I didn't mm-hmm. miss the cake, did I? I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Carson taking a picture of Nathan and Elizabeth. I was like, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. We didn't mention this, but in the wedding, you know, Bill and Clara walking down the aisle, and then there's Carson with his little compact camera taking pictures.
I want to see the pictures that Carson took, that the real set photographer took. You know, I want to see all this.
That would be funny. All right. So, Casey, lay it on us about your thoughts on the reception. Go for it.
First of all, I like the fact that Lucas owned up in his saloon and brought out the cake and was running the show. I thought that was very fantastic of him to be, you know, those are the gestures I like seeing in a man. I'm just like, do you have a servant's heart? And obviously Lucas does.
Yes.
I also like the fact that we did get a little bit of Nathan and Elizabeth time.
With the picture.
Yes, with the picture. But I will say that I was a little surprised that we didn't see any dancing.
Because
there were episode photos of them dancing and her with each guy dancing, and we didn't see any dancing.
In December, I tweeted out to Erin, like, all I want for Christmas is a Lucas Elizabeth dance scene. And she said, wish granted. And I was like, where's my wish granted? Like,
and then it ended up on the cutting floor, I guess.
Yeah, and then she said, someone said, what about Nathan and Elizabeth? She said, that too. And then I tweeted out again about the dance, and she said it ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. Sad.
So then my other thing with this, the other moment that I was just like, oh, seriously? I was really hoping that Elizabeth wouldn't
get the bouquet. Yeah, catch the bouquet.
Am I too? Okay. I was really hoping that Elizabeth wouldn't catch the bouquet, because I feel like that's cliche and I didn't mean to rhyme. Hey, bouquet and cliche. You can tell your daughter that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I was really hoping it'd be somebody new, like Fiona would catch it with her blossoming romance with Kevin. But of course, I feel like Clara was just trying to give her a boost of confidence, because she totally set her up.
She really did.
Oh, completely.
Did.
Totally, like, Elizabeth, set her up. Get out here.
Calling her out. And
she took one step. She took one step.
The way she walked out there, she kind of like moved her hips a little, like, and just stood there, and like, and four floors was like waiting to catch this bouquet. Like,
that was not a fair shot. That was, we need a redo of the bouquet toss, because Like, that was not a fair toss. She was setting her up. And I know that we brides do it. So, because I've done it, I'm like, okay.
My favorite thing was the Nathan and Lucas facial expressions when she
did. Oh my gosh, I love that. I loved it.
Nathan was shocked. And, like, Lucas was kind of, like, nonchalant about it. But Nathan's shot face made me...
He was awkward! Did you see Brian Bird's tweet? I saw it later. It said, well, Elizabeth caught the bouquet. What now, gents? You know, yeah. And it was with both of them with the most awkward possible face in that moment. Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I love that it was Carson who reminded Rosemary to have Clara throw the bouquet. It's not Fiona. It's not Florence. It's Carson who
burned picture for.
Yeah, he's like, Rosemary, don't forget the bouquet. Oh, Clara.
That is a little surprising that Rosemary forgot. I guess she got, you know, caught up in the
all caught up in everything
the moment.
And I just love Rosemary and Lee so much, and how much they love Clara and Jesse. Not like as like friends per se, but more like
mentors
and like little siblings. Like I could feel that love between like them like that.
I mean, and giving them their anniversary trip to Los Angeles. Come on, Rosemary had been looking forward to that trip for ages, and she just gave it away.
They're just the best. They're just the best.
They are the best.
They need all the happiness in the world and more. Lee and Rosemary. can we talk about Luke? Clara and Bill father daughter dance. That made me cry. Because I cried every father daughter dance at weddings.
Like, so do I.
I just have a special relationship with my daddy, and I just love that. Even though Bill's not her real father, of course, but it's just so sweet that he cared that much to do that.
And did you hear what she said to him? Thank you for being someone I can depend on. Because he's been there. He has been there the whole time, and he totally offered to perform the ceremony if the pastor didn't show up, and he was mad that he wasn't more involved in the wedding until she asked him to walk her down the aisle. He's very, you know, we kind of think of him as the James Bond, the rough and tumble judge, but he's really steady. Steady force there.
Yeah. I like Bill when he's serious and funny. And like this season, it seems like he's like more balanced than season two. He was all stern, like no funny business.
Right. And
like I just like the balance now.
Well, season two is when he went out and found her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or brought her back.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten about that until like literally just now.
she did it for Abigail.
Yeah, he's the one who found her. Yeah.
And he's like, he literally has been there for her. Oh, yes, she knew him.
That's so sweet, dadgummit.
I didn't even think about that part. Wow, Casey. Geez, got the waterworks going. All right. Okay, quick shout out to the new pastor.
He's so young. He's a young fella.
That's okay. We need him to stick around for a while. Because it sounds like he said, I'm glad to have a new home.
Yeah, and Elizabeth showed him the office.
Yeah, yep. When Elizabeth showed him and he said, this is a lovely church and school, and my late husband built it, so it's extra special for you. And Elizabeth says, I hope it can be special for you too. Well, it's good to have a home. I love being a traveling pastor, but at the end of the day, I want to be part of a community.
Was Pastor Simon a traveling pastor?
Yes.
I thought he was just, like, I thought he was their pastor, but then he just he wasn't going to be in town.
No,
he was a traveling pastor.
She got in contact with them for little Jack's baptism, so that's why she didn't plan enough, because she found a traveling pastor to come.
Right.
For the baptism.
Yeah. And then he stopped in on his way through mm-hmm. for that one time that they had their church service.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I think Hope Valley might be getting a new pastor, and he's pretty cute.
All right. We're all those single ladies.
I want a single lady for Hickam. So single men need to stop coming in.
Okay, so tell Pastor Zeke to get in line.
Yeah. Pick him first, then Zeke.
Well, you know, it's funny. Okay. It's like we had all these, like, widows, and then they had no men. And now we have all these young guys.
We're overloaded with men. And fun fact, this actor, David Lennon, that's it. He was in Love on the Menu with Kevin Smith.
Oh.
So he played the bartender who was skimming.
Shady, yeah.
Yeah, he played the bartender who was skimming. And so he didn't have a whole lot of time and a whole lot of scenes with Kevin, but just thought it was cool that he was in a Hardy movie, if you will, because it starred Kevin Smith, and Kevin also wrote it. And so now he's coming back into the Hardy universe. So thought that was cool. But yeah, I liked him. I thought he was sweet. I thought he was cute. It was funny because Elizabeth, that's how Elizabeth described him. He's young, but sweet. You know, I just thought that was funny. So
someone put on Twitter, like, oh, another possible suitor for Elizabeth.
My husband said that. That wasn't me who tweeted it because I wasn't watching it live, but my husband said, perfect. Then he can just slide right underneath and snatch her from the two of them.
Pascal.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Pascal, sweet. Is he even legal, like, age?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, that's wrong.
But I said she already has two men, like, vying for her. She does not need more. And some people don't even have one.
Like, I know. Mm-hmm. She does not need a love square.
No.
No.
I said that in jest in our, like, little chat that, you know, watch. Hallmark's going to be like, you thought it was a love triangle. It's like, she's going to marry the pastor.
Yeah. It would have been cute if they brought the pastor in at the beginning before Lucas and Nathan. Like, and then Elizabeth could, like, oh, I like the pastor. But Nathan, I like Nathan and Lucas, so we'll keep them.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. There you have it, Hardys. We've got season 7, episode 6. I always lose track of the numbers. Episode 6, Imperfect Unity. There it is for you. All right. So, Casey, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Hallmark My Words.
Caroline?
On Twitter at Mita Caroline R.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cami Drama Girl. Cami spelled K-A-M-I. You can find me on Facebook with the Hooked Hardy Facebook page. And my blog is hookedhardy.com. And you can follow the podcast all over social media, Hallmarkies Pod or Hallmarkies Podcast. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. If you're watching on YouTube, which is the fun one, then please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel. Also, please consider becoming a part of our Patreon group, because patrons, we love you, and you get lots of exclusive deals and giveaways, and that's always fun. And we've got our merch store that has tons of Hardy's inspired art, and we've also got Hallmarkies and postable stuff. So you know what, if you're a Hallmark loving person, or you've got someone in your life who is a Hallmark loving person, that's the place to go. All right, so we love you, Hardys, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.